so on the front six, right side for the right field. That ball is out of here. Yeah.
Well, they run it up the gut with Giannis. 50 gets a block. He's up the middle. The 20, the 10, the 5, touchdown.
You're listening to WSJP, St. Joe's Prep Student Broadcasting Club Radio, and the voice of all things prep.
Your St. Joe's Prep Hawks are state champions!
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Thomas Abington alongside my co-host, Tyler Conrad. Billy Fisher will be joining us for his playoff knowledge and college basketball analysis in the show. Well, welcome to Tyler, Thomas, and Talking, or as we like to call it around 17th and Gerard, Triple T. Make sure to head up our Twitter at SJP Broadcasting for information regarding every broadcast and at SJ Prep Sports for the latest scores and stats of every prep game. Triple T is a show delivered twice a month. We will be discussing strictly basketball. We will have a new guest on every time. Week, our guest is Billy Fisher, who is joining us for his crucial analysis in the collegiate aspect of the game and his breakdown of certain divisions. It is a great time for us to start with the NBA with the NBA talk because the All-Star break, which just ended, and the NBA season, which is ending in a few months. Now it's my pleasure to introduce my great friend, Tyler Conrad. Tyler, welcome to the show.
How are you, Tom? Really a pleasure to be on Triple T.
All right, Tyler. With the All-Star break just being ended, how did you think the first event, the skills competition, went? Do you like the new format with the bigs versus guards and not just the guards, or the competition versus a timer?
I really do like the new format, Tom, because it really shows the aspect of the game's really changed, because bigs, you know, they're kind of trying to act like point guards around here. You know, they're kind of shooting the three pretty well, and the four bigs that were selected really know how to shoot the three, and Markkanen and Embiid just as a few examples, and I really just like how they kind of, you know, shifted instead of all guards, and I kind of like the competition base because it kind of makes you, you know, on your feet, you got to make a shot, you got to do each dribble move.
Yeah, Tyler, you're so right about that. How about the three-point contest? Devin Booker with 28 points in the three-point contest, which is a record. Paul George only had 9. He was a brick machine. What did you think about that whole contest as a whole?
Well, as a whole, I think it's a great contest. It's been running for a long time. I do like the new addition of the the whole money ball rack where they can kind of choose where their hot spot is. They get 2 points each ball for a total of 10 points. And now with the new 35-point format, I kind of like it. And Devin Booker shooting lights out, really, he kind of wanted to prove something that, you know, he was the best shooter. And he believed that, and I believe that since he was at his days with Kentucky. And with Paul George, I just think he was kind of, you know, on his feet, didn't really – he wasn't really feeling it that night, and it kind of showed in the All-Star game as well.
Yeah, and there's something else that people weren't talking about in the three-point contest was Tobias Harris got off to a great start in the final round, and then he just choked the last two racks on the money ball. He didn't make one single money ball in the whole rack, and he could have won in L.A. at the Staples Center because he plays for the Clippers. So, yeah, that was a little bit, but seems to be getting a little overshadowed. But what do you think about the dunk contest this year? Do you think anyone got snubbed, or do you think they got it right?
Dunk contest usually per year is a pretty special event. Everyone's, you know, kind of leading up to it. Everyone loves to see it. All the 10s go in the air. But this year they're kind of just giving out 10s everywhere. I do think that Dennis Smith kind of got snubbed for the final spot. We don't know what he would have done in the finals, but just in general, I think he could have made the finals. And I honestly don't think that Donovan Mitchell, you know, should have won. I think he had some great dunks, but I just think that, you know, Larry Nance's were a bit better.
Yeah, Tyler, it was weird how Dennis Smith Jr.'s dunk, which was really impressive, only got a 39. And then when Victor Oladipo didn't even make a dunk, and it got a 31. So it just seems like the system is a little confusing. And just maybe a bit rigged, you would say, but when you have DJ Khaled, like, what can you really expect from the judges? What about the All-Star game? Did you like Fergie's national anthem?
Fergie's national anthem was definitely special, and she actually, I guess, tweeted or said after the game that she kind of took a little different aspect, and obviously it didn't go the way she wanted to, because almost every single player and fan was you know, kind of laughing at that. And even my dad said, "What is this? Who is this? Get her off the stage now," end quote. So really kind of all her performance. But she tried to take a different aspect. Didn't go as well as she planned.
Yeah, I heard a lot of people saying she thought she was Beyonce, because everybody loves Beyonce. But what did you think about the game itself and, like, the new system with the top two vote-getters in East Conference and with the draft? And do you think it should be televised?
It definitely should be televised. Adam Silver did say it's going to be televised, so he's made a lot of changes. He pretty much changed almost every single, you know, All-Star festivity, so we'll see if he can, you know, hold up to his word and change this. But I really like this new format, because nowadays the whole all the power is in the West. There's really maybe six guys in the East, and the rest in the West is just ridiculous. So I really like the new format, and hopefully it'll be televised next year.
Tyler, who do you think really stood out in the All-Star game? Obviously LeBron with his 29-point performance, but it was really overall a team All-Star game, to say the least, because this was the first All-Star game in history to not have a 30-point score, and LeBron having one point shy of 30, and it was just a good display of passing the ball around the perimeter. And what did you really think about the game in general?
Well, it really just shows that, you know, LeBron wants to win. He kind of took the ball in his own hands. He was down 13 with about 6:22 left in the fourth quarter and really just said, "All right, guys, we're winning this game. I don't care if you're going to pass to me or do anything, but I'm going to have the ball most of the time." So he was actually running point guard throughout the whole fourth quarter, and that kind of shows, you know, he wants to win. Even if it's just an All-Star game, he wants his money for his charity, and I think that's great by him, and I kind of like the new All-Star game. It was really exciting and, you know, just the most thrilling All-Star game I've seen so far throughout my lifetime, which is only 16 years, but still a really great event.
Yeah, and for him to make 14 straight All-Star game appearances is just astounding, that he can play at an elite level for so long. And I read somewhere that this was the first one without Dwayne Wade, Carmelo Anthony, and Chris Bosh, which is also astounding that while those guys are going a little downhill, he might be playing the best basketball of his life. Tyler, there was something that I thought was a little weird was Coach Mike D'Antoni taking out Joel Embiid in the final final defensive possession. But I think that's really why they lost. And what were your thoughts about the game down the stretch?
Well, I don't think it's why they lost. I think that, you know, Joel Embiid was playing really great in his first All-Star appearance, and so was Damian Lillard. And so was Klay Thompson, to be honest with you, and they kind of just took all them out and put Harden, Steph Curry in. And Harden shot 2 for 14 from three, and Steph Curry really only had 14 points, shot 3 for 11 from three. So those two really didn't have a good game, but it was team Steph, and Steph kind of made the calls, and those were the calls he's made, and that's pretty much why they lost. So unfortunate to see from him, but still a really great event.
I also saw that that team LeBron was supposed to kill a team Steph, but it was really close game all around. Did you think that it was a close game? Did you think team Steph should have won, or do you think that team LeBron deserved to win?
Well, team LeBron definitely improved throughout the whole game. You know, every time LeBron was in, it seemed like they were going to win. So, and that's really every team that LeBron has been on so far. So, you know, just him being in the game really shows, you know, his composure and his ability to be on the court and, you know, his winningness, I should say. And, you know, Team LeBron was really supposed to win, but four of his players went out: Kevin Love, DeMarcus Cousins, John Wall, and Kristaps Porzingis. So at the end, it was kind of a, you know, team Steph was kind of on the top, but luckily for LeBron, he's just that good, and that's pretty much why he won 29, 10, and 8. Beautiful stat line for an All-Star game.
Yeah, I just thought it was a great weekend overall. I was a really big fan of the skills challenge this year, that you got someone, Spencer Dinwiddie, who not a lot of people know, but if you're like real NBA fans like we are, that you would know this guy has a lot of skills, obviously. But I also thought it was great to incorporate those bigs and see Joel Embiid, my favorite players. Play in the skills competition was really nice. Now it's time to welcome Billy Fisher into the broadcast. Billy, how are you doing?
Well, I'm doing really good today, Tom. I'm looking forward to be working with you guys. All right, man.
Billy, what were your thoughts about All-Star Weekend? Did you enjoy everything about it?
Yeah, I really thought All-Star Weekend turned out to be great. They changed a lot of the things this year, and I think Adam Silver did a great job with making it more, more viewers, because I'm sure the viewership was down a lot last year, and it really helped a lot.
Yeah, I think the power change from David Stern to Adam Silver a couple years ago definitely changed the dynamic and the culture of the NBA, because Adam Silver is a little bit younger, and he's just a different guy. And David Stern was the commissioner for a long time, and he had stuff done a certain way. But then Adam Silver realized that there were some problems with what David Stern did, and he just totally changed that. And I think he made some great additions to all the three-point contests, skills competition, dunk contests, and the All-Star game, which I really like to see, because the All-Star game in my lifetime has not really been that interesting. And it's just great to see that these players are actually playing well. And what do you think about that, Billy?
Well, I think Adam Silver, I think the change with the East and West, as Tyler said, I think that it really helped with the evenness of the teams. The West was really powerful usually each year, and they usually win the game. And I think it was a great job by Silver to change the teams and having the top two voters get to choose the teams.
Here's the real question: did you like Fergie's national anthem?
It was very interesting. She definitely got a lot of hate on social media, and I give her credit for trying to switch it up a little bit, but I don't know. I think she could have done a much better job.
Yeah, like at least she tried. Like, she probably did a better job than any of us three could do. But I really liked the weekend. I think the dunk contest is something that could definitely be changed. It just hasn't been the same as it was with Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon. And that's because of the dunkers, and because it was just – in the final round, it was 50s after 50s after 50s, which made it really entertaining. And if you got like a 48 or 49, you knew you were going to lose. And I just wanted to have that feeling back. But this year was very entertaining. I think they were all good dunkers. Victor Oladipo, the worst one there, I think he had some great dunks. And I just think it was an all right dunk contest. But I think there are definitely changes that can be made. All right, we are going to take a break. Stay tuned to Triple T, where Billy, Tyler, and I will be breaking down the rest of the NBA, the East and West.
When colleges see St. Joseph's Prep on a transcript, they take note. That's because for more than 165 years, the Prep has churned out well-educated, well-spoken, and well-rounded young men who thrive in the college setting. They know their way around an SAT test and around the city, because when it comes to college, both matter. Come see what we're all about. Schedule a Hawklife visit today, or check us out online at www.sjprep.org. For the high school education you want and the edge you need, choose St. Joseph's Prep. College starts here.
Mr. Patrinoni, English teacher and golf coach. Hope you're enjoying the golden voices of the best crew in radio, WSJP Prep Sports Radio.
Welcome back to Triple T. I'm here with Tom Avington and Billy Fisher, and right now we're going to break down the Eastern Conference playoff records right now. So far, we're going to go to the Atlantic Division first, and I'm going to be interviewing, you know, a little bit of Tom Avington, as he gets a little bit of Sixers, Celtics, and Raptors talk.
All right, Tyler. I'm really excited to talk about the Atlantic because it's really close to home, right here in Philly. I'm really excited about the Sixers this year. They've been playing some really great basketball. Ben Simmons has been lighting it up after receiving that All-Star snub, which I think is a little bit unfair, but I think it's all right. And Joel Embiid is just a monster out on the court. It's great to see him come back and play some of those back-to-backs. A couple weeks ago was his first, so it's really nice to see that he's been healthy. It doesn't really look good when he's fallen because he just doesn't know how to fall. But I just think that they have a great team. They have Dario. They have J.J. Redick. They got Marco Bellinelli, who I'm a really big fan of. And they've been starting to win, and they really know how to win now. And the problem in the beginning of the season was they didn't know how to win, and I think also Brett Brown knows how to win now, and it's just a whole learning experience because Brett Brown's also new to this too. He's really new to this coaching thing, and I just think that they're not going to be an easy sweep. And I think that they'll give teams some trouble.
Now, so far right now, they're the seventh seed, and they would be going up against the Boston Celtics. who you're going to be doing after this, but how do you think the Sixers can kind of defend with, we'll say, the top three teams? Presumably, the Sixers are most likely going to be a 6 seed, a 7 seed, or an 8 seed. So maybe they'll slip into a 4 or 5, but for right now, we're going to say they're going to be a 6, 7, 8. They're going to make the playoffs. How do you think they can compare to, you know, a powerhouse like the Cavs, or maybe, you know, a speedy young lineup like the Celtics, or, you know, just a well-based franchise like the Raptors?
Well, I think they can match up with the Cavs pretty well. With Joel Embiid is going to be the key for that for the Sixers. I don't think the Cavs have anyone that can guard Joel Embiid. I think Joel Embiid's the best. He's the best center in the East, and he's probably second best in the NBA right now. I think he's the best without Boogie Cousins out with an injury, and Joel can. I think realistically is going to be the defensive player of the year, and he's going to make first team All NBA. But I just think they're going to match up well. Ben Simmons is going to get better. They got those people that they can rely on, J.J. Redick and Marco Bellinelli at the end. They got Dario, who's been lighting it up. If Proko can wake up, that would be really nice. But he can play some lockdown defense. I would put him on LeBron. I know it's not going to work that well. Maybe LeBron will score 35 points. But if the Sixers can just play their game, I think they can push their series between the Cavs to 6 or 7 games.
And you talk about the Cavs, and, you know, no one can defend Joel Embiid. We're not going to really get into a debate right here, but, you know, the Cavs have LeBron, who, you know, kind of a little bit shut down Embiid last night, kind of jumped over top of him, actually. It was kind of a little bit funny. But right now,
it was one part.
Okay, we're not debating. I just said that. Do you think they're a contender or pretender, Mr. Sixers fan?
I think the Sixers are true contenders. They've really been heating up lately. They've been playing really great basketball. I don't think Markel Fultz is going to come back, which is actually good for the team because he has not really grown with the team over the course of the season, and it'll be good for chemistry. And Markel, I just don't know what's going on. It's one of the weirdest situations that I could think of, but I definitely think they're contenders with the best center in the league and definitely the best rookie. I don't know why that's a debate between him and Donovan Mitchell. But I just really think that the Sixers can make a good run. I don't know if they'll make it to the finals, but I think they can make it to the Eastern Conference Finals and make it interesting.
And right now, if they were the 7th seed, they'd have to play the Celtics and the Cavs. So this is going to be the last question for the Sixers. Do you think Joel Embiid can play, we'll say the Sixers will win, but I'm going to keep your word. They'll go to the Eastern Conference Finals. They'll most likely play the Raptors. Do you think he can play? We'll say they'll go to 7-game series because both teams are incredible. Do you think he can play all of the games? And if he's out, and it's not really giving the Sixers a good shot at winning any of those games because he's really the centerpiece of that team.
Yeah, Tyler, I think that he can play those games, and I also trust the Sixers. Even if he's not playing those games, but most likely he will be playing those games. He likes to play those games on national TV and at the highest stage of playing in the Eastern Conference Finals or in the Eastern Conference Semifinals. He's definitely going to play. I think they're just being cautious with him right now with the back-to-back thing, and they've really pushed him, and they're getting him back. And they're really getting him back into shape. And he's been taking some hard falls. He's a big target, 7'2". He's a little bit of a clown, a lot of players don't like him. He trolls people a little bit, but I think people are going after him. But I really think he can stay healthy, and that is key to the Sixers team.
All right, Tom, and now we're going to go to if the playoffs started today, they're first-round competitors so far in the Boston Celtics. And, you know, the Boston Celtics made a huge trade, sort of blockbuster trade, right before the season started, sending Kyrie Irving to the Celtics in return. And they sent out to the Cavs Isaiah Thomas, Jay Crowder, Ante Zizic, and surprisingly, the Brooklyn Nets first-round pick. And so far throughout the season, how do you think Kyrie Irving has impacted this team? And unfortunately for the Celtics, they did lose a huge piece in Gordon Hayward in the first game of the season, actually, but how do you think the Celtics, you know, sort of stack up against the East?
Well, it's no question that the Celtics have been playing the best basketball in the beginning of the season. They got out to a really hot start. They're starting to cool off a little bit now, which is something definitely to look at. But I wouldn't take them lightly. They're a good team. Kyrie Irving is no joke. Kyrie Irving is probably the best point guard in the East, if you ask me. And he's really stepped in as that leader. And sometimes when you are that number two guy and then you get traded, like someone like Tracy McGrady, he just couldn't lead a team. But Kyrie can definitely lead this team. And it is a big it is a shame that Gordon Hayward wasn't able to be playing at all this season. But next year they should be, I think, the team to beat in the East, and they're gonna match up better with the Cavs.
All right, Tom, and right now, most likely they're gonna be contenders in almost everybody's eyes, unless the new look Cavs 20 ball them every game. But do you think that so far with their, you know, their recent play, we're not gonna say their regular season, so far with their recent play, you know, they just got 20 balled by the Cavs going into All Star break, but with their recent play, do you think they're going to be contenders or pretenders?
I think they're definitely going to be contenders. I don't think they're going to fall from 2 seed to 9 to like 8 seed or 9 seed, or 9 seed's not a thing. I don't think they're going to drop out of the playoffs, but I don't think they're going to be nearly as good as a team as they once were in the beginning of the season. I just think they're getting a little tired. Teams know what they can do. Jason Tatum, his talents have been looked at by other teams, and people know how to defend against him. I don't think Al Horford should have been an all-star this season. I know he played some good basketball, but I don't think he's an all-star center. But I think they should contend, but I don't think they're going to be as good as people think they were in the beginning of the season.
And now we're going to take it to one of the most surprising teams in the NBA, the Toronto Raptors. Now, usually they're a 3 seed. You know, they go 4-2 in the first round, win that, and then usually get swept in the second round. But this year, you know, Dwayne Casey's played a really great lineup, and the rookie OG Anunoby is really stepping up in that small forward position. So how do you think the Raptors can, if they really want to, you know, win, they can take their talents to the first seed and look to get one of their first conference finals in, you know, recent history?
Well, it's no question that this team's always at the top of the East, top three. They're always playing some good basketball. In the playoffs, they seem to disappear almost. They just can't match up against LeBron. But this might be the year with the Cavs not having Kyrie Irving. But the Cavs do have some other weapons. But definitely the Raptors, who are led by DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry, who are both playing outstanding basketball right now, they're playing really well, and I think they'll keep that number one seed, and I think they're going to be the team to beat in the East.
All right, Tom, and now we're going to send it to our other analyst so far, Billy Fisher, who's going to be introducing the Central Division.
Hey, guys, so we're going to look at the contested Central Division. So first we're going to start with the new-look Cavs. So as you guys know, the Cavs, before the All-Star break, they made a huge trade. So they're coming in. They got Rodney Hood, and they got Rodney Hood from the Jazz for Jay Crowder and Derrick Rose, and they got Jordan Clarkson and Larry Nance from the Lakers, and they traded Isaiah Thomas for him, and they also got George Hill from the Kings. And so Tyler, how do you think there's this team's going to be favored in the East? I mean, they played well since they've gotten their new they're 4-0 since they've gotten their new players. How do you think are they the team to beat in the East this year?
So far, if they continue their pace, they're looking like a really great 55 win team, and it wouldn't surprise me if they glimpse 60 wins this year, because you know LeBron's usually based around young players, and at the beginning of the season, they really couldn't mesh well, especially with Isaiah Thomas. When they didn't have Isaiah Thomas, they went on a little streak of 16-1, and you know that kind of said something to Colby Altman, the GM of the team, and that's really why you know they traded six players in return for four. But these four players are you know great athletes, great shooters, and that's exactly what LeBron needs around him. So I really do think that they are the team to beat in the East, and as right now, Vegas favors them to win the East as 2-4 odds.
Yeah, and like you said, Tyler, they were one of the older teams in the NBA. They really were getting older. Jay Crowder's sort of an older player. Isaiah Thomas really kind of messed with the team chemistry there. And what do you think guys like Jordan Clarkson and Rodney Hood, what do you think they're going to offer to this team that they didn't have in the beginning of the season?
Well, definitely shooting. I mean, when you add some old guys, they're really, you know, used to like the 2000s basketball style. So they're kind of used to the drive and, you know, draw foul type. But with Rodney Hood and George Hill is a great defender. He locked up Kyrie, and that's, you know, primarily why they won by 22 points. And Rodney Hood, Jordan Clarkson's kind of, you know, the young spark. So when LeBron's not on the court, they're going to put Jordan Clarkson on the court. He'll be a little spark of energy. And him and JR are loving themselves right now. 4-0 since the trades happened. And, you know, just big things look like it's coming for the Cavs.
Yeah, so now we're going to take it over to the Bucks. So, as you know, they got one of the best players in the NBA, Giannis Antetokounmpo. I think he's a 7-foot, he's kind of a combo guard, and he's really played well this year, almost an MVP caliber season. So, do you think Giannis is one of the most talented in the NBA?
I think Giannis is definitely top 10 player. He's really young, which is really great for the NBA, and he may be, you know, the face of the NBA when LeBron, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry step down. So maybe in his late 20s, early 30s, and yeah, I think he's a top 10 player so far.
Yeah, so we've seen the Bucks be a little inconsistent this season. I think getting Jabari Parker back is definitely going to help boost that. But they're the sixth seed right now, and I think people did expect them to be a little higher seed. What do you think they're going to be doing to maybe get a higher seed for the end of the season or make a better playoff push?
Well, so far they actually just changed their lineup to, you know, a little bit of a small ball younger lineup. They went with Eric Bledsoe, who's going to be, you know, kind of the veteran on the team. And then they went with a really young lineup and Tony Snell at shooting guard, Chris Middleton at small forward with small ball, because Chris Middleton's only 6'6". So we'll see how he can defend it amongst the rest of the league with small forward position. And then Giannis at power forward and John Henson at center. So a few young pieces. It'll take a few time to develop, but, you know, in a few years they're going to be up there with the Sixers in contention for that Eastern Conference title.
All right, so now we're going to take it over to the Pacers. So they made a trade this year last off season for Paul George, and in return they got Oladipo and Domantas Sabonis. And we've seen this year in the first half of the season, Oladipo has really been a great player so far. And right now they're the 5 seed in the East, which is they're kind of a surprise team in the East. So what has Oladipo done so far? Like, do you think he's an elite player?
Right now in the East, he looks like an elite player. He's really kind of stepped in that Paul George role that they really needed him to step into. And actually, when the Thunder made this trade to get rid of the Victor Oladipo and bring in Paul George, you know, everyone loved it. Everyone said the Pacers, you know, stupid. They don't know what they're doing. But really, the Pacers added a great backup center / starting power forward in Domantas Sabonis. And Victor Oladipo has really been doing it all, averaging 25.4 points per game. And Domantas Sabonis, you know, when Miles Turner gets into a little bit of foul trouble, he's right there off the bench. And he's a high-caliber young center who can really start to be, you know, one of the top 10 centers in the league.
Yeah, and as you said about Miles Turner, he's been hurt the last couple of weeks. I think he's definitely going to add to their team to help them make a better playoff run. And and Tyler, do you think they're a contender or a pretender?
To be honest with you, I don't think they're either. I don't think they're a contender because I think they might get out of the first round and then, you know, maybe get 4-1, 4-2. But I don't think they're a pretender. They're right there. Not this year. I don't think this year is their year. I think, you know, maybe you add another draft pick, make a move in free agency, and, you know, you're right there at the top of the East, because next year the East will be interesting because, you know, obviously the Celtics are going to have Gordon Hayward and Kyrie. The Sixers are going to be more mature, you know, add a few more depth. And we're going to really see where Braun goes. So it's really all going to be dependent on where he goes and how the East shapes for next year.
All right. And now we're going to go to our last team in the Central Division with the Pistons. So this year they drafted Luke Kennard in the first round, and they did just make a huge trade to get Blake Griffin from the Pistons for Tobias Harris and Avery Bradley, and they're the 9th seed right now. But I think they're definitely gonna make a playoff push. But Tyler, right now they're the 9th seed, and do you think they're gonna make the playoffs?
It really depends on how Blake Griffin really meshes with the team. Since January 30th, they actually went 3-14 so far in just NBA all-around play. So that really is going to hurt them right there. They were a 4 seed before that, and now they've dropped to a 9 seed. But, you know, the East is really tight. You know, you win a few games other teams lose a few, and you're right back in that, you know, 6-7 seed. So it'll really depend on how well they can mesh together with some chemistry and how well that, you know, the coach can, you know, because Blake Griffin's really a, you know, star player, but so is Andre Drummond. So we'll see if they can kind of mesh like the Pelicans do in New Orleans.
Yeah, and as you said, Tyler, they really started off the year. They were playing great basketball, and they were the top one of, and the top three seeds. And it looked like for a while there they were really gonna get contend for the East and for the Eastern Conference, and then it just kind of all fell apart, and then they made the trade for Blake Griffin, which really shook up the Eastern Conference and even the Western Conference. But what do you think? I know they have Blake Griffin and Drummond, but there are other guys on the team. What do you think? Who do you think is really gonna have to step up for them?
Well, one person that's gonna have to step up is, you know, they really have two shooting guards. They don't really have a main starting lineup with Reggie Bullock and Luke Kennard. So I think one of them is going to have to step up to the plate, you know, really be the main shooting guard. And then Stanley Johnson's really going to have to step up because they traded their starting small forward in Tobias Harris, who was really, you know, a solid 12 to 14 point scorer. And Stanley Johnson's, you know, used to running off the bench. So if they really legitimately want to make a playoff run and, you know, go far, they're going to have to see improvement from Stanley Johnson and Reggie Bullock. And, you know, Andre Drummond and Blake Griffin just have to mesh perfectly, and, you know, maybe they can, and we'll see what happens.
Great point. So now we're going to take it over to Tom, as he's going to talk about the Southeast Division.
All right, Billy, thank you. The Southeastern Conference is a little bit boring, I would say. Not a whole lot of star power, but we're going to start with the Wizards, who do have a star, but They've been dealing with a lot of injuries. They're the one of only four teams with 14 players. But do you think they can make a run even with all these injuries?
Yeah, well, I think they really do have a chance to make a run. But I think the key component is going to be John Wall trying to stay healthy. He's been dealing with injuries all season, and we've really seen Bradley Beal step up as John Wall's been out, and they've actually been playing better with John Wall being out, which is sort of surprising, but I think this Wizards team is definitely going to have to need John Wall to be there to add scoring, and he's definitely a great playmaker. So they're definitely going to have to need him there to be a contender for this Eastern Conference.
You said about how they're winning without John Wall. Not that long ago, Marcin Gortat tweeted out something that a great team win, even if it was without John Wall, and it had. It struck a little controversy around the locker room, and we don't really know how it really is in there because we are not in that locker room. But do you think that they have solved this, and do you think that Bradley Beal or Otto Porter, who's been really surprising this season, I think he's one of the best young players right now. But do you think that these problems can be solved, or do you think they have been solved, and do you think they can overcome them to play well in the conference?
Yeah, well, I really think that it really wasn't that much of a bad problem. I think that multiple the Wizards player have come out and said that this really doesn't mean anything. Marcin Gortat was just saying, oh, it was a great team win all around. It doesn't – just because John Wall was hurt, it really doesn't add to any of the bad chemistry between him and the players. And I think it's just really they're trying to step up for their guy being out, and I think they're really just trying to hold it down for him until he gets back. And I think it's really kind of a not-needed controversy.
Yeah, Billy, I think it's all up for interpretation. Like, everyone can interpret it as they wish. But it's not our problem. It's the team's problem. But also, do you think that Gortat, who started a little bit of this controversy, and Otto Porter, do you think they can step up and take some of the scoring load off of Beal, who has to step up for John Wall being a little injured and shaken up?
Well, Gortat's kind of had a down year. I mean, he's getting older, but he's usually a great rebounder, and which is usually his primary thing. But I think that he's definitely going to have to step up with some easy layups and dunks. And And Otto Porter, he's really started off the year great, the first half of the year. It's kind of been surprising how good he's been so far. But I think that Otto Porter is definitely going to have to step up his scoring a little bit, because it seems that a lot of times Bradley Beal has to carry the load a lot for the Wizards. And I think it's just really going to have to be a team effort until John Wall gets back from injury.
Yeah, but it's also hard to say if for it to be a team win with players like Jody Meeks or Devin Robinson or like Tim Frazier, Ian Mahimi, like all these guys that have been in the league for a while but are just aren't elite players, and they're not all-stars in any way, shape or form, but they need to step up and they need to play to that role player role, seventh, eighth man. Or six man, I should say. But the bench really needs to step up. Is there someone on the bench that you really think should step up for the team, the Wizards?
I don't think it's anyone in particular, but I think last year the Wizards definitely did have a problem with the bench, and they tried to step it up a little bit this offseason by getting guys on the bench, and I think it's just going to have to be a bench effort. Like, they're not really great scorers off the bench, as you said. Guys like Jan Mahimi and Tim Frazier, like Jan Mahimi's sort of a role player. He gets rebounds, he'll block a few shots. Tim Frazier's kind of a playmaker. He doesn't really shoot the ball that much. But and I think it's Jody Meeks. He's a good shooter, but I don't think there's enough scoring there. And I think that's definitely a problem for the Wizards as they're going to head into the playoffs. But I think they can – if they can provide a little more scoring off the bench, I think they'll be better off in the playoffs and beyond that.
Final question. Do you think they're contenders or do you think they're pretenders?
I think the Wizards are definitely contenders, but I don't think they have enough surrounding the team. Like, it's more of just John Wall and Bradley Beal, as we saw last year. They did make a good run last year, but I really don't think that they can get past a team like the Raptors or the Cavs. I think they're going to have to take this next year, maybe get a free agent or a draft pick or something else. But I guess I would consider them contenders, but I think they're more likely pretenders.
Yeah, you're so right, Billy. They don't have enough firepower to really contend. They're the fourth seed right now, which technically makes them contenders, but I don't really see them as contenders. I don't think they can really step up to those three teams, the Cavs, Celtics, and Raptors. Talking about teams with not a lot of firepower, I'm sorry for the insult, but how are the Hornets doing? I know Kemba Walker, he was on the trade block. Dwight Howard's playing some good basketball, but how do you think that – do you think they can really, like, play well in the Eastern Conference?
Going into this year, I thought the Hornets would be definitely like a 7 or 6 or eight, even 8 seed. But I think right now the problem is they're definitely an older team. They have a lot of veterans on their teams, and the salary that they're paying these guys is really high. They got guys like Nicholas Batum, Dwight Howard, Marvin Williams, Cody Zeller, and I think they just don't have enough young guys on their team to add some firepower. And I think the real problem is that they don't really have any scorers besides Kemba Walker. I mean, Kemba Walker, every night you see he's putting up around 20 points a game maybe. And I think that they just don't have enough firepower, even off the bench or even in the starting lineup, just to play better basketball each night.
Yeah, Billy, what really struck me with what you said was the salaries that they're paying these guys. They're paying Dwight Howard $23 million, and they're paying Nicholas Batum almost $21 million. And those are really bad contracts. I consider Robert Covington and Nicholas Batum to have one of the worst contracts in the NBA, to both have the worst contracts in the NBA, because they're getting paid so much and they're just not performing at the level that they should be. But I don't really understand why someone would pay Nicholas Batum, who's never been more than a decent starter, to have almost $21 million. And, well, Dwight Howard got that money with him being elite at a couple years ago. But they're just not those players, and I think they should definitely get rid of those contracts as soon as possible. But it's not really an easy task for them to do. All right, Billy, what do you think about the new big three in Miami with Goran Dragic, Dwayne Wade, and Hassan Whiteside?
Well, I think the addition of Dwayne Wade is definitely going to help them off the bench. I don't know if I would go there to call him a big three yet, but I think Dragic and Whiteside are definitely good solid two to have on the team working in the pick and roll. But right now they are the eighth seed, and they sort of been a surprise team in the month in January. They really played well together, and Whiteside's really having a great year. He's a really good rebounder, and his specialty is really blocking shots. And I think that they're definitely gonna stay in the playoff picture, and I think they're definitely gonna make some noise as being one of the lower seeds and having a lot of firepower.
Yeah, I agree with you that they aren't really a big three. I would consider them medium sized three, if like that's even a thing. But I also don't think Dwayne Wade is – he's just not the player he once was, and I think he's getting a little bit overhyped. Ever since his last season in Miami, he has not been performing at the level he once did back in his early years when he won Finals MVP, those real big 3 years with Chris Bosh and LeBron, and with those championship years. He's just not the same player, but it is good for him to go back to Miami. It's where he belongs, and it's easier for us to say that he's on the Heat than say he's on the Cavs or the Bulls. But I just think that he's getting a little bit overhyped. Do you think that Goran Dragic can carry the load? I didn't really think he deserved to be an All-Star this season. I don't think he's that great of a player, in my opinion. I think him over Ben Simmons was a little bit ridiculous. And the main argument for Goran Dragic was he's 7 inches smaller. But that doesn't really mean anything, because you got someone like George Mersan is not better than like someone like Charles Barkley. And there's someone with like 13-inch size difference. But I don't really think it matters based off of size. And they're just saying this because Ben Simmons is 6'10". Point guard, and they're complaining that he's too big, which is kind of a ridiculous argument, because too big is just like really a stupid comment to make. But Goran Dragic is definitely not. I don't think he's elite at all. We're gonna take a quick break, and when we come back, we will break down the Western Conference. Stay tuned for more Triple H.
Lauzi Foreign Car Repair, located on Long Lane in East Lansdowne, PA, is the place for your import. Lauzi Foreign Car Repair is the stop for oil changes, AC and heating repair, inspections, brakes, transmissions, tires, and more. And although they specialize in foreign cars, domestic cars are also welcomed. Find out why his customers say mechanic John Lauzi is the best of the best, someone who gets the job done right the first time around. Call 610-259-2500 to book an appointment or to hear more about the services of Lauzi Foreign Car Repair. Go Prep!
Sojourner Mancano, LLC is a litigation boutique dedicated to representing clients in criminal, civil, and administrative controversies. Mark Sojourner and Joseph Mancano are committed to a standard of excellence in the service of their clients and are consistently ranked among the best lawyers in local and national publications. They bring skills honed over decades of experience to resolve the most challenging legal problems. Call 215-925-2500 to contact Sojourner Mancano for more information. Go Prep!
What's up, everybody? I'm Frank Raffa, teacher of Spanish and French at the Prep, and you're listening to WSJP, Prep Sports Radio.
And welcome back to Triple T. I'm Thomas Abington alongside Tyler Conrad and Billy Fisher. Tyler, we all know that the West has been more dominant over the years than the East has. Do you think that's still the case?
Well, I do think it's, you know, sort of still the case. Is, you know, they kind of have a few powerhouses, and, you know, their seventh seed is the Nuggets, while the East seventh seed is, you know, the Sixers, who aren't a bad team, but, you know, the Nuggets are really kind of meshing as a team. Jamal Murray is really stepping up. And just in general, I think the West is, you know, primarily better than the East.
Yeah, Tyler, I agree that the West over the East every day of the week, they just have more talented players, and they got the Warriors, and the Warriors win. They're just the best team in the league, and they also got the Rockets, and those teams would definitely be 1-2 in the East.
So now we're going to go on to the Northwest Division, and these guys actually have five teams that are in contention. So every single team's in contention, and we're going to start off with the Thunder. And right now, most likely the odd man out on the big three is going to be Carmelo Anthony. But Tom, you know, in your perspective, who do you think the odd man out is, and who's really, you know, screwing chemistry up, even though they're the five seed right now?
Yeah, Tyler, I agree with you that it's definitely Carmelo Anthony. Carmelo Anthony wasn't the player he was on the Nuggets or even on the Knicks, and he wasn't very successful on the Knicks. And he's just getting older. He's same draft class as LeBron, and LeBron's staying at that really elite level. Carmelo is really going down in his value, and you can tell by that Thunder trade, to the Knicks wasn't like a really good trade, but I just think that you'd rather have Russell Westbrook and Paul George over Melo.
And right now, as you say that, Oklahoma City is 2-0 against the Warriors right now in regular season play. And they've really just shown their dominance and really, you know, asserted their dominance in the Western Conference. And do you think they can continue that throughout the playoffs? And when they do make the playoffs, you know, depending on where their seeding could potentially be, do you think they can beat the Warriors in a 7-game series? And also, we'll get to the end of the Thunder. Are they a contender or a pretender?
Well, obviously, I think they'll definitely contend with the Warriors. But in a 7-game series, it's definitely going to be the Warriors. I think it's going to be Warriors in 5. Or maybe even Warriors in 4, because I know that the Thunder have Russell Westbrook, and he'll give you a game or two, and you got Paul George, that guy you can give up to. But the Warriors are completely stacked with Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, and they just have a really good team all around. And I know that when you look at the stats, that the Thunder have the Warriors' number, being 2-0 and all, but They're not playing them every couple days. They're playing them maybe once. They're not playing them very often. So then they can play different. They meet them one time in the season than when they play against them in another season or the another time of the season, I should say. But I think they are a contender. I just think that they need to. It's gonna be really hard for them to contend with the teams like the Rockets or the Warriors, and I just think they need to try to get away. Like, if the seeding works out, that they can get away from them until the Western Conference Finals. But that doesn't really seem like it's going to be the case.
And we'll move on to the Timberwolves, as you say that. And the Timberwolves weren't really a hype team. They did trade for Jimmy Butler to the Bulls. And that kind of made an impact on the whole season, because last season the Timberwolves weren't really a a great team. You know, they had a top 10 pick, and they traded Jimmy Butler, and now they're looking like they're a 4 seed. And if the season were to end today, they would just play the Thunder. So how does, you know, the big three of Karl-Anthony Towns, Andrew Wiggins, and Jimmy Butler compete with Oklahoma City's big three? And one thing before you answer that is Jimmy Butler, he didn't play in the All-Star game, and the reasoning for that was, you know, he didn't want to injure himself because he was kind of feeling a little bit cramped. And how does that, you know, show his focus for the team's overall being and their playoff standing and, you know, their record and where they will be seated in the Western Conference?
Well, Tyler, I always think when you have that firepower that you're always going to win at least 40 games. That didn't really work out with, like, the Lakers or those teams with the old big three. But when you have these young stars like Karl-Anthony Towns, Jimmy Butler, and someone as powerful as Karl-Anthony Towns, I think it's really hard to overlook them when they're playing, because I think they are, and they're going to be a really good team when they get later in a couple years. They're going to be contending with teams like the Sixers, and the Celtics are going to be good for a while because everyone on that team is really young. So for exception is Al Horford, but their big three is averaging 60 points, which is it's a really good chunk of your scoring. But I think that Karl-Anthony Towns is definitely the key, because with him being the center, and a couple years ago when they said the center position was going to go away with how the three-point shooting has been affecting the league, I think he's really adapted to that. I think he's definitely become a better three-point shooter, with him shooting 42%, which is really a good percentage for anyone, but for a center, it's phenomenal. But the thing you said about Jimmy Butler, I think his play is key, and I think that they just need to stay out of the trouble, and I just think that they need to play a little. They just need to step it up if they want to compete with the teams like the Warriors or the Rockets.
And now we're going to move on to the Denver Nuggets, a little bit of a surprise team. In the West, they were, you know, in the preseason rankings, they were looked at as, you know, a 13 or 14 seed. They're not really a seed, but, you know, maybe a top five pick in the lottery. And they've kind of shocked, you know, everyone in the NBA. And they're a 6 seed in the West. They're right on brisk for, you know, a 5 seed. And how do you think Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray are playing so far? And, you know, their play style has really helped the team so far in a number of many wins. And Jokic, you know, fastest player to get a triple-double. So how do you think that, you know, affects the team just in general? And how do you think Murray and Jokic can, you know, team up to be that dynamic duo that Denver really wants?
Well, the Nuggets have really been surprising for me this season. It's really good to see Jamal Murray playing so well. When he came in the league, I really wanted him to play well. It was him and Buddy Hield. People thought Buddy Hield was better, but that doesn't really seem to be the case anymore. Jamal Murray has really stepped up into that really efficient offensive player. And if we're talking about efficiency, we can't skip over Nikola Jokic, because Jokic is really efficient, and with 23.7 PER, the player efficiency rating, it's just really good to see that his PER is in the 20s and he's just been playing really well. And also having Paul Millsap, that veteran presence, but he's just been battling some injuries. And I also think Will Barton's great play. He's really improved over the season and over the course of his career. And also I can't skip over Gary Harris, who has been playing really well, and he's playing the best basketball of his career. And I think that Nuggets are only going to get better, and I don't think they're going to get worse anytime soon.
All right, Tom, and as you're saying that, you know, your final point on the Northwest Division, who do you think will, you know, sort of win the Northwest Division? Say, you know, I'll say who's the highest seed or who will go the farthest in the playoffs relating to the Thunder, the Timberwolves, or the Nuggets?
Well, this is a tough one, Tyler, because they are – right now 4, 5, and 6, which means any spot is for grabs. But I think it's going to be between Thunder and the Timberwolves. In the last two games, one of them is going to jump the other one. And I think that's going to be the T-Wolves because I think they're going to get better. I think Wiggins is going to step up a little bit. I think Wiggins is going to average about like 22 points for the rest of the season compared to his 17 that he's averaged earlier in the season. I think Karl-Anthony Towns is going to get better. And I think Jimmy Butler is a really good basketball player, and I just think that they're better than the Thunder. And I just think their big three can overpower the Thunder, even though they have Russell Westbrook and Paul George.
All right, now we're going to turn the tables to our other quote-unquote co-host, to Billy Fisher, as he's going to introduce the Pacific Division.
Well, Tyler, we definitely know that the Warriors are the team to beat in the West and in the Pacific Division, but this division only has the two playoff contenders in this division are the Warriors and the Clippers. So, do you think the Warriors are ready to go for their third championship in just 4 years?
Well, they're definitely ready to go. There's no question about that. You know, four All-Stars really is going to be impactful in the playoffs, especially when you add elite players like Kevin Durant and Steph Curry. And, you know, on the defensive side of the ball, you have Draymond Green and three-point shooting. You know, you have Steph, KD, and Klay. But, you know, that's really the most complete team in the NBA. But, you know, the Rockets are – they actually just one-upped them, seeing that Mike D'Antoni was the head coach of the All-Star game. And, they're, you know, they're half a game ahead of them in the West. And I think the Warriors are still going to win the West. I don't think that – Vegas obviously favors them. You know, they're 3-2 in the West. The Rockets are 5-2. But in the West, it's really going to come down to – most likely the Warriors and the Rockets. And in my opinion, I think that the Warriors can, you know, out-hustle and, you know, outplay the Rockets in a seven-game series.
Well, it's definitely interesting to look at it. The Warriors are the two seed. And I can't remember really the last time that they've been the two seed, but I think the Warriors are definitely going to – I think they're going to sort of easily breeze to the Western Conference playoffs and figure out who they're facing in the East. But do you think the Warriors are going to sweep every single team they play, or are they going to have to face a challenge along the way?
I definitely don't think, at least this year, that they're going to sweep, you know, every single team like they did last year. And to be honest, it's most likely because, you know, they're kind of just getting sick of each other. Like even Steve Kerr said, you know, they're getting tired of playing together. And it wouldn't shock me if Draymond Green and Klay Thompson leave next year. You know, if they win the championship, most likely they're going to stay to, you know, assert dominance throughout the league. But, you know, also one thing that we haven't mentioned so far is, you know, Jordan Bell has really stepped up, a crucial second-round pick who actually was selected by the Hawks, but the Warriors, you know, kind of paid the Hawks to get him for – or excuse me, the Bulls for, I think it was $3 million in cash considerations. So that really, you know, helps when you have a little bit of depth there. And the Warriors are kind of the team that, you know, they have – four great All-Stars, and then they just kind of have, you know, the bench. But adding Jordan Bell really is a huge factor for them. And if they want to, you know, contend with the Rockets and the Cavs, which they are doing, that's really going to help as a benefactor. You know, if, you know, one player gets fatigued, you know, they can easily sub them right back in.
Yeah, and as you said, it's definitely interesting to see that Jordan Bell's definitely really stepped up this season. And Zaza Pachulia is not really that athletic, or I wouldn't say he's a very good player. But I think Jordan Bell's definitely added a lot to their team and as a very athletic player. All right, so now we're going to take it over to the other playoff contender in the Pacific Division with the Clippers. So as you know, the Clippers traded Blake Griffin for in return they got Tobias Harris and Avery Bradley. So they definitely got a good defensive player in Avery Bradley and a great scorer in Tobias Harris. But I think the real surprise of the season has definitely been Lou Williams. He's averaging almost 22 points off the bench this year, and is definitely, I think, an all-star snub. He's definitely going to win Sixth Man of the Year if he keeps this up. But how do you think Lou Williams is going to lead this team, maybe to make the playoffs?
Well, one thing that they did, you know, that really helped them was, you know, the trade to send Blake Griffin to the Detroit Pistons, because it gives you two great starters, Tobias Harris and Avery Bradley, and it really, you know, calms Lou Williams down, because originally Lou Williams was the sixth man that was starting, but now, you know, returned to a sixth man role where he really strives. And I think it was a great trade for, you know, both teams, because Detroit really needed that power forward position, and also LA really needed some depth. So, you know, when Patrick Beverley returns from injury, I really think that's when they're going to start, you know, putting on the fuel. And I honestly think they're going to, you know, maybe a 7 or 8 seed in the tournament.
Yeah, the Clippers at the start of the season were definitely a team that wasn't expected to do much, but they had playoff hopes. And I think this trade for getting Tobias Harris and Avery Bradley, it definitely adds a defensive aspect to their team, as they got a great center, DeAndre Jordan, who's actually played pretty well this year. And Avery Bradley's just a really star defender in the league. And I think the Clippers are definitely going to make a playoff push, and I think they're definitely going to get maybe an 8 seed. So now we're going to turn over to Tom Abington, and he's going to talk about the Southwest Division.
Well, with the Southwest Division, it's really stacked. Three teams in the top 10. They have the Rockets, the Spurs, and the Pelicans, which are all three really good teams. They both have a lot of star power. They haven't really been lucky with injuries, all of them, I would say. But I think some of these teams that can compete with the Warriors, and if we're talking about competing with the Warriors, I think the first team we got to think about is obviously the Rockets with Harden and Chris Paul. Do you think they're enough to beat the Warriors? People think that they're not really the number one seed, but and Vegas doesn't really favor them be the one seed, but I would put my money on them, and if I bet on them, I think I'll make a lot of money.
Yeah, I definitely do think the Rockets do have enough to win this West and have a shot at least at beating the Warriors. Coming into the year, a lot of people were worried about how Harden and CP3 were going to play together, if there's going to be any chemistry issues, but he's really just stepped in and taken his role really well. He was hurt in the beginning of the year, which didn't really help, but CP3 has definitely came in, and he knows that he's not going to have to score much, but he's definitely been a great playmaker. And I think the Rockets, they play a lot like the Warriors, and they've had so there's a stat where they've attempted more three pointers than they have two pointers this year, and it's really insane how the team just I wouldn't say chucking up threes, but they're really shooting a ton of threes a game, and I think they have a lot of great 3-point shooters, and they know how to score the ball, and I think it's really not surprising, but it's definitely I guess it is a surprise how well they've played this year and how they've all stuck to their role and fit together as a team.
Yeah, it's really surprising. Like, if a couple years ago in about like 2005 or 2000s when the Pistons were ruling the NBA, if you said come 10 to 13 years that a 3-point shooting team would be leading the NBA and ruling the whole league, I think they literally would have laughed in your face, because the 3-point shot has revolutionized basketball. Because whenever I know this has been said a lot, but whenever kids go into the gym, they shoot up a three every single time. And talking about threes, the Rockets, you said, shoot a lot of 3-pointers, and they average the most, the farthest distance per 3-pointer, and they're going in. And you said that you wouldn't say they're chucking up, but I think they're kind of chucking up for it. They're really shooting them from far away, but they're also making it at the same time. Let's move on to the Spurs, who are just not the team that they once were. They still have Kawhi Leonard and LaMarcus Aldridge, but they're not the team they once were with the really good Manu Ginobili teams with Tony Parker and Tim Duncan when they were younger. But how do you think they're playing, and do you think they can contend?
Well, it's interesting you say that, Tom, because they still are the 3 seed in the West without Kawhi the whole entire season. LaMarcus Aldridge is playing the best basketball probably of his career, and I think he's really just took in that leadership role. And there are a lot of vets on the team, so they are definitely one of the older teams in the NBA. And obviously they have the best coach, probably the best coach in the NBA with Coach Popovich. And I think they've really just – each person on that team has a role, and they're great defensively. And I think they definitely can contend, but I don't think they'll have enough in the end. Unless Kawhi Leonard would come back at any time, I really don't think they have enough to contend with the Warriors or the Rockets.
The problem with the Spurs is that Kawhi Leonard does not have a timetable for return, which is really like a red alert. Like, that without them, they're going to struggle, but they've been holding their ground for right now. But if they want to play well in the playoffs, they definitely need Kawhi Leonard, and they just need him to come back, because he provides scoring, he provides great defense, and he's just a really great player. And the Spurs have been really quiet this year. You're not hearing about them because Kawhi Leonard isn't playing. And just when you don't have that star, you don't get a lot of that recognition. But they are the 3 seed in the West, which is by far the more superior conference. But just the Spurs, I think, can make a run. It's based off of Kawhi Leonard and his health. And we're going to move on to the final team for the Western Conference, the Pelicans. Where do you really think the Pelicans will end up? It's really a shame how Boogie Cousins got injured. But do you think Anthony Davis and playing really well, and Rajon Rondo, who's really been stepping it up and just been playing his game, passing and rebounds, getting close to those triple doubles. Do you think that they can maybe make it to the Eastern Conference Finals? I don't even think they can make it to the NBA. They can win the NBA Finals without Boogie, and it's going to take a while for Boogie to be back, and he's not coming back anytime soon. But do you think with Anthony Davis and with Rondo and Nikola Mirotic, do you think that they can make a little bit of a run?
As you said, Tom, the DeMarcus Cousins injury was just a shame. I mean, they were playing their best basketball of the year, and then all of a sudden he just had a freak injury. He ran from the free throw line to get a rebound, and all of a sudden he just hurt. I think it was his hamstring that he hurt, and it was just an awful injury for the team who was playing well. But honestly, without him, I'm not sure. They're the 8th seed. They're the 10th seed right now, and I'm not really sure if they're gonna be able to make a push without him. They don't really, besides DeMarcus and Anthony Davis, they don't really have a lot of scoring assets to their team, especially off the bench. But I think for years coming, I think they'll definitely look at Rajon Rondo, who is an older player, but he is a veteran, and he's definitely stepped up and taken his role this year. He's an amazing passer, but it seems ever since he's left the Celtics a few years back that he hasn't been the same player. But I think this year he's really hitting a stride again, and I think he's definitely stepped it up this year. And Anthony Davis is just a beast, and it really is a shame again that they lost to DeMarcus Cousins. I really don't think they're gonna make a push at anything in the playoffs.
Yeah, Billy. Right when they were starting to gel with DeMarcus Cousins, his recent history of just him being in the NBA is not a great one. It's not really a reputation you would like to have, because he used to he led the league in technical fouls and ejections for a couple seasons. But now he really seems to respect Anthony Davis and just the whole Pelicans organization, and he's just really happy that he's there. And it's really a shame that this happened to him. But I think next year, if they just get one more player, it's going to really push him off the top, because Drew Holiday's playing some great basketball. So is Nikola Mirotic. And I think they have a great team overall, but they just need that one player to really push him over the top. That'll do it for us for the NBA breakdown. We will be coming back for our mock draft of the lottery, the first 14 picks. So stay tuned for that.
Has messing with the cloud got you down? Call Tech Commandos in Marlton, New Jersey. They deliver 24/7 cloud hosting and information technology services that enhance communication and productivity. Their expert staff has a world-class certified state-of-the-art facility that helps to meet their clients' demands, specializing in hosting ACT, QuickBooks, Sage 50, computers, and servers. Tech Commandos provides cloud services with a human touch. To schedule an appointment or learn more, visit them on their website, techcommandos.com. Go Prep!
Hi, this is Father John Swope, class of 72, and president of St. Joseph's Prep, and you are listening to WSJP. Hi, this is Father John.
And welcome back to Triple T. I'm Thomas Abington alongside Tyler Conrad and our guest for this our first show, Billy Fisher. And we are going to be talking about the college basketball and the top prospects for this upcoming draft. All right, so Billy and Tyler, who do you think's going first?
And I also think it's going to be DeAndre Ayton, because if you're the Sun, you know, you have Alfred Payton on, you know, a little bit of rental. He's on a one-year deal. And then you have Devin Booker, Josh Jackson, and Marquise Chris, you know, rounding out that forward shooting guard position. So you're either going to take Luka Doncic as a point guard. You know, he really facilitates the ball well, puts up great stats in the European League, and he's a great shooter and passer. Or you could do, you know, go with the center position, DeAndre Ayton, and then, you know, search for a point guard in free agency.
Billy and Tyler, I agree with both of you that Ayton should go first overall. It's hard to make the pick for the Phoenix Suns because they do need that point guard and that center position, because Ayton, with being a man, being huge and just being so powerful, and Doncic, which we don't know a whole lot about him being in overseas, of course, but I think Ayton's definitely the right pick because the Suns have not lucked out well with centers when they got Alex Len and Dragan Bender. All right, Billy and Tyler, who do you have rounding out the top five?
I think with the Atlanta Hawks, they're gonna take Luka Doncic. He's probably the best foreign player we've seen, and probably the best foreign player we've seen ever. He puts up great stats in the second best league in the world, which is the Spanish league. And he really shoots the ball well, and he's such an amazing playmaker. We've seen videos of him making through the legs passes, and he really knows how to shoot the ball deep. And I think that the Hawks definitely need a great shooting guard or small forward, because he is 6'7", and he can really play anywhere. So I think they're definitely going to take Doncic. So I think with the third pick, then the Dallas Mavericks are up next, and I think they're going to take Marvin Bagley III. He's really been a standout college player so far. He's almost been unstoppable in college, and he averages almost close to 11, 12 rebounds a game. And I think he's really going to step in and take a huge role, because Dirk is leaving the team, because he's almost 40 years old, and I think he's definitely going to step in and really take the role, and he's going to be a great NBA player. And with the fourth pick, it's the Orlando Magic, and I think they're going to take Trae Young with this pick. Trae Young, he's been an outstanding player in college. He's really taken over the college basketball world, and as we've seen in games, he has an unlimited range. He pulls up from almost a couple feet, a couple steps behind the half, in front of the half court line. And he's also quietly an amazing distributor. He averages 9 assists in college, and it is interesting because the Magic just traded away Alfred Payton, so he can definitely step right in and be a great point guard. And with the fifth pick in the draft, the Sacramento Kings are up, and I think they're gonna take Michael Porter Jr. He's only played 2 minutes in the entire season. And he's out for the season as well, but he's big sized, and he's 6'10", and he's almost 215 pounds, and he can really shoot. He can really shoot the three, and he also has great scoring potential in the league. And I think I think what we've seen from him so far, that he's going to be a hard person to pass up on. And I think the Kings definitely need some scoring, as they're one of the lower offensive scoring teams in the league.
And to round up my top five, I have Jaren Jackson Jr. going number two to the Atlanta Hawks. He could potentially play well, you know, only one season, but, you know, play well with Ersan Ilyasova. Maybe he could teach him a little bit, because he kind of looks like him, as he can shoot the three very well. He's a great defender, and, you know, he could potentially, you know, play a great 1-2 with him. With the third pick, I have the Dallas Mavericks, or excuse me, the third pick is, yeah, Dallas Mavericks, and I think they're going to pick Michael Porter Jr. I don't think you can really pass up on him. As Billy did say, he only played 2 minutes in the NCAA, so it is kind of a risk. But if you're Dallas, you know, you're going to lose Dirk Nowitzki, and he's a 6'10 small forward, but he's kind of a combo forward with power forward, small forward. So he can go either way. He's a great scorer and would go greatly along Wesley Matthews and Harrison Barnes. And with the fourth pick, I have Luka Doncic going to the Magic. The Magic just got rid of Elfrid Payton, so it'd be a great fit for them. And he's really got unlimited range and really is an amazing distributor throughout Europe. And with the fifth pick, Sacramento Kings, I've taking Marvin Bagley. He could really, you know, kind of replace DeMarcus Cousins as that pure center, and he really has potential to do great things in the NBA.
Yeah, Billy and Tyler, I agree with both of your picks. I know that you guys had different spots, but you had basically the same guys. The only problem I have with Luka Doncic is that he's a big question mark because we don't know much about him, but even he has been playing professional basketball, and there are a lot of good European players, but there's also a lot of bad European players that could come. And my thing with Trae Young is turnovers, but that's something definitely could be taught. All right, guys, what do you have through 6 through 14, the rest of the lottery?
So my sixth pick is going to be the with the Memphis Grizzlies. I think they're going to take Mohamed Bamba. He's an insane defender with a 7'9" wingspan, which is insane. And I think this off season we could see Marc Gasol leaving, and he's aging too. So if he doesn't leave, he could Mohamed Bamba could step in and learn the role with learn from Marc Gasol, as he's been a proven vet. My seventh pick is the outstanding Jaren Jackson Jr. From Michigan State. He could potentially play with Lauri Markkanen if he decides to move to that center spot. He's a great defender and can space the floor. And he's shooting 44% from three on the season, which is insane for a big man. And he averages three blocks a game. With my eighth pick, the Cleveland Cavaliers from the Brooklyn Nets pick, they're going to take Colin Sexton. He's a great playmaker and defender, and he would add another young piece to the team. With the ninth pick, I think the New York Knicks are going to take Miles Bridges. And with the 10th pick from the LA Lakers, I think the Philadelphia 76ers are going to take Kevin Knox.
And with picks 11 through 14, I think that, you know, the Charlotte Hornets really have a great pick, and I think they're going to take Mikal Bridges from the University of Villanova, a great combo guard, you know, shooting guard, small forward, 6'7", really could, you know, play anywhere, really spaces the floor well. And I really think he can play great with Kemba Walker if Kemba Walker does return to Charlotte. And with the 12th pick and 14th pick, the LA Clippers have both of those picks. So I think the LA Clippers are going to go, the first are going to need a small forward, power forward, you know, to kind of replace Blake Griffin. Because Tobias Harris really isn't, you know, that starter material. He's kind of a more off-the-bench player. So I think they're going to go with actually Miles Bridges from Michigan State, who's as well as 6'7", small forward, power forward, playing great at Michigan State, just hit a buzzer beater yesterday against Purdue. So, you know, really could help him throughout the long run. And, you know, rounding it out with the 13th pick, I think the Utah Jazz are going to select Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, a great point guard, you know, goes right well with Donovan Mitchell, really athletic, long and strong. And, you know, defensively he's great. Offensively he's, you know, one of the best finishers in the league. And I really think he can go far in the league.
Yeah, all these guys are great prospects. They all have really bright futures. There have been a lot of guys that have really built up their stock, but there's also been players that have really gotten worse. Like at the beginning of the season, you would have thought Trevor Daboll would have went at least top 10, if not top 5. But he's really downplayed himself, and he's just not been playing really great basketball, and he's been really hurting him by not playing that well at Duke. All right, that'll do it for Billy, Tyler, and I here on Triple T. We'll be back in a couple weeks for more basketball hot takes. the playoff races, and much, much more. For Tyler Conrad and Billy Fisher, I'm Thomas Abington, and thanks for tuning in.
You're listening to WSJP, your home for St. Joe's Prep Sports year-round, only on Blog Talk Radio.